Welcome to The Space in Between. The Space in Between is a place where I dive deep into the vexing reality of today's often polarized times and find ways to navigate the complexity of leadership, evocative current events, and do so in a way that helps us stay in a place of high agency, hold firm to our convictions, and also bridge divides. Hi, I'm Lee Morgan, and welcome to The Space in Between. Few issues are as polarized as conversations about gender identity and transgendered youth. Too often, we're asked to choose between opposing camps. Either you're supportive or you're not. Either you're protecting children or harming them. Either you're affirming identity or standing in its way. But real life rarely unfolds in binaries. My guest today, Bree Rose, lived through a deeply personal journey when her child began questioning their gender at age 12 and asked to medically transition their gender. Bree and her husband wanted their child to know they were loved completely and supported in exploring who they were. At the same time, they weren't comfortable making a significant medical decision at that age. Their story doesn't fit neatly into today's political narratives. What emerged wasn't certainty. It was a conversation. It was learning, a few hiccups, lots of love, and a family finding its way together. Bree's story today is her story, and I'm grateful she will share her experiences with us. Other moms and indeed other families face different realities, different risks, different resources, opportunities, and may indeed make different decisions. So this episode will help all of us build a deeper sense of humility and grace at a time when both of these qualities are, well, sometimes in short supply, and especially related to the issues that we'll talk about today. So a little bit about Bree before we welcome her in. She is a former staffer at Cascade Asset Management, where she worked with the Gates Foundation and other innovative companies. And in addition to her finance chops at that organization, she is also a certified Dare to Lead coach. And that's Brené Brown's Dare to Lead book, as you may know. And so she has this nice left brain, right brain mix to bring. And she's also very active as an advocate with the autism community here in Seattle. So I'm really excited, Bree, to welcome you to the show and a topic that I've been wanting to have a conversation about. And when you and I talked initially, I was like, oh, this is it. This is the person to go there with. So Bree, welcome to The Space in Between.
Thank you so much. What a great introduction. And I just have to say, the name of the podcast, it is absolutely perfect for this conversation, because I feel like the title of this could have been The Space in Between. It really is, as you said, this time in your life as a parent where you have to just sit back and really be curious and open-minded and know that there's going to be potential struggles along the way. But as long as you come with the foundation from that mindset, you can absolutely get through it and you can end up in a very positive situation.
Well, I can't wait for you to share more about what that has felt and looked like. Before we start, I want to ask you to set the table, if you will. What were the conversations you had with your family? I know in thinking about joining the podcast today.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, I feel very proud because the second I came to my family and said, we have an opportunity to share our story with the hopes of potentially just giving other perspectives. And every single member of my family immediately was like, yes, yes, then yes. And I think that's a big kind of part of this journey and story is by allowing your children and your family to be involved and to have opinions and to challenge you, to understand that you might not always have the best answers and best solutions. It allows them to truly live into themselves authentically. And that is where we have been able to provide this support, that the underlying message and everything about it was, we want you to thrive. And so again, my family is very committed to whatever we need to do to help others. We are very much a family that serves, but they were like, let's get out here and share our story because it's one that should be heard.
I love it. And so we're going to dive into the details and tell us a little bit more about your family. I think you have two kids and a wonderful husband.
Yeah. So very, very blessed in my family. My husband and I have been together for 28 years and I'm 48. So for more than half of my life. And my best friend, soulmate, I have many, but I would say is definitely a soulmate of mine. Very traditional man, an electrician by trade, but the most kind and empathetic soul as well. And so very grounded with my relationship. My children have always seen it's all about being friends first. We have our 17-year-old Storm, born Jagger, goes by Storm now. And then we have an 11-year-old daughter, Jaxie. So very close family, been through challenges both from our childhood that really made Jeff and I build a foundation around how can we all come together and thrive as a family. We want to see each other succeed. We're in this together. So very tight-knit, loving family. You know, having that, I think any situation like this, it felt like we had a little bit of a one-up in that we could have very open, honest conversations, my husband and I. But you don't always know what's going to come up with your children. As a parent, it is that's probably the hardest part is the unexpected challenges or things that come up. When we kind of started to go down this path and hear that Storm was kind of thinking about just how they felt about themselves and self-discovery and, you know, all that comes along with it, I immediately knew the love was going to be there. But what I didn't know was, can I answer all their questions? And can I give them exactly what they need to know they're going to thrive? Mm. But we really sat down and focused on that.
Walk me back to when Storm was 12, because that's kind of the beginning. What happened and what was going through your mind as a mom?
Yes. Whew. And honestly, I wish I could say that a little piece of me handled it differently at the beginning, but this is exactly why we're talking about it, because we are humans as parents and we have this pressure to always do exactly what's right. And there are times that we just simply don't know, and we might need more time to research things. So, I mean, I remember very vividly coming home one day and Storm was about 12. And interestingly enough, I had recently overheard a conversation that Storm was having with four of their friends that were all girls. And they were saying things to Storm like, "We always knew you were too nice to be a boy." And so it just kind of was interesting, just put this perspective in my mind. So I had heard this a little bit, didn't think much of it. So I remember coming home from work one day, Storm was there and just said to my husband and I, "I'm just kind of starting to question my gender. I'm not exactly sure, you know, what I think and what I feel." And I paused. I remember the feeling coming over me of, "Oh, wow. Okay, here we go." And I reacted and was like, "Whoa, okay, what do you mean?" You know, and it was like, "I don't see gender confusion. You might feel like you're different because Storm is this incredibly creative soul, talented musician, artist, actor, et cetera." And so they always felt a little different. And I was a little overwhelmed when they initially said this to me. And I was like, "Well, wait a minute. I've always called you like my boy. Like, what does this mean?" And so I was like, "Okay, understood. I don't feel that I'm really reacting the proper way right now. I just need some time." And I will say that was right there the biggest moment in my life that I have followed through this journey is kids, again, we don't have to look at them always as a problem to solve. They are someone to love and support and guide through them to their success, whatever that means for them. And so I had to take off my problem solver hat, which is me. I try to solve every problem and be like, "Okay, deep breath. This, you need to come from a different angle."
Yeah.
So hard, but I knew this is not what Storm needs. They don't need me to sit here and tell them if they're right or wrong, if what they're feeling is real or not, because none of it mattered. What matters is that they were feeling something and they internally had something that they felt they needed some more support on. And that became the most important thing to me. And there was one incident even where I remember probably about 6 months after, and I looked down and I see cuts all along Storm's arms. Never in my life had I experienced it nor seen it. And it kind of brought this big wave of emotion over me. And what it was I wanted to hold them. I wanted to just literally grasp them and cried with them and held them for probably an hour. And I said, I have two choices, on this journey with you or I'm not. And I'm on it.
And did you verbalize that to Storm at the time? Because even just that thought process that you had when they shared with you, they were questioning their gender.
Yeah.
Was that what was your body feeling like then, right? I mean, was it just a reflective, I got you, I got you, I don't want a problem solved, but here, I'm going to love you right now? Or what was that feeling like?
Yeah, the very first feeling was honestly disappointment. I thought, wow, is there something that I've done, we've done, that potentially has made them question who they are? So like, I kind of had, I think, a lot of the typical responses. My body felt hot. I was flushed. And it was kind of like, okay, here's my kid. I got to figure this out now.
Wow.
That was that feeling, an overwhelming sensation. And then getting a little bit of time to process what was kind of happening and what really mattered, I could step back and be then very verbal with Storm and say, I'm on this journey with you. I'm going to mess up. I'm probably going to hurt your feelings. That is not my intention. I'm here to learn, but we're in it together. And that was the most important message. We're in it together.
And what was Storm's reaction to that? I mean, that's a powerful thing to have a parent say, I'm with you. I'm probably going to put my foot in the doo-doo pile.
Yeah.
I mean, was this kind of a normal conversation you would have with Storm at the time? Or was it a new chapter of articulating, I'm with you and I'm going to goof? Or was that kind of normal for your family culture?
No, it wasn't. I mean, I think maybe that was a little, you know, what I had done without knowing. I am just kind of who I am. I am who I am, but I lead with empathy. And so everything in me is about empathy, always thinking about others. And so I knew, and I know that about myself. So I can put away this idea that I was, you know, going to do something harmful. Who knows? But like, I knew I was going to be coming from the right place. And as long as Storm felt that, to me, I felt that was all that mattered. Nothing else along the way mattered as long as Storm knew I loved and supported him. So when I did have that hard conversation, Storm's reaction was, I know. And that was everything that mattered to me, because they knew. And so, I mean, when Storm told me, I know I'm thinking about this, I was like, have at my clothes. They're welcome. It's all you.
Okay, you there you go.
You be you, you know. Yeah. So they felt the support and love. What was different was I have always been that, again, the answer to the problems, the solver to these problems. And it was like, I want us to go into this without this being a problem. And they could then see that. And they're young, you know, they're 12. That's part of why a lot of this journey was, we're going to go through this, but we're going to be really smart about the decisions we make, because I want you to make these. These decisions should be made by you. I don't want to tell you what your name should be. I don't want to tell you what you should feel. You know, I want you to be able to experience this. And when the time is right and you have that capacity, then you can make these decisions for yourself.
You're describing identity that many of us can relate to, which is about problem solving. Something comes up, and you know, and you're a professional, you've done all this work, and I have too, and anyone listening here, probably the same thing of, give us a good problem, we'll figure it out. So it's a skill set you have.
Yes.
And yet as a parent, this was a curveball, something new that you had not experienced. I assume also your partner, Jeff. And so I'm just struck by how this catalyzed a shift in you pretty quickly.
It did, and it amazes me. And that is the most important thing for me, is that it's okay for us parents to, again, need help and support. Like our kids, we want them to fail. We want them to face fears and stuff like that so they can be the best version of themselves. And we need to do that same thing for them. We need to model this type of stuff for them so that they truly believe it, and then they will achieve it. My kids have seen what I've been through in life and how I've persevered and the things that I have done. and they have that underlying kind of foundation. But Storm, in the end, again, knew it was so much more than me trying to just step in as this parent figure. I was trying to step in as a cheerleader, a supporter, their closest confidant, and sometimes put my parenting hat to the side, which is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask you to reflect a little bit on a hard decisions that ended up coming up, which I want you to share in more detail. You know, you're not solving for a problem. Your child's not a problem. And there's this new thing on the family journey, right? That you all are stepping into with intention and a lot of love. What did it actually look like when some hard choices came up and there might have been some differences between what you and Jeff wanted and what Storm wanted?
Yeah, that was, again, there is this point you put your parenting hat to the side. At the same time, we are here to help set boundaries. And so it was so much more about how we talk to them. So 12 years old, they're talking about gender confusion. They're, you know, we get to 13, 14, they're talking about their name changing and all of this kind of stuff. So much of it was, it's very hard for me, for my husband and I, to make that decision for Storm. And that was really where we were coming from. So when we talked about any sort of medical intervention, whatever that may be, at that age, we were simply just not comfortable making a decision for them. They've only been on this planet for 12 years. They still are figuring out who they are. And we want them to have plenty of time to discover that. And you simply haven't done that at 12. So if you're, you know, if I'm hearing that you're potentially thinking about medical intervention of some sort, it is nothing that I would say no. It is, I think that there is a time and a place for our family that this is important. And right now we need to learn more and we need to discover more. And so Storm understood and really trusted our judgment and was able to say, okay, they're not telling me no. They're just saying we need to be smart. We need to be proactive and the time will come when it's right. And this doesn't feel right. What was really hard was our family made that decision and we were all comfortable with it, including Storm. Yet others around us, they really kind of started to look a little down on us that we weren't supporting our child or we weren't giving them everything they need. We have these resources, you should support them and this and that. And it was like, wow, that's actually the complete opposite.
Oh, wow. So, and just to be really specific, what was the actual medical choice or choices that you were wrestling with? Just so that I'm really clear about that and listeners are also.
Absolutely. I mean, originally it was just like hormones. So taking hormones to slow down the development of a male. You know, things like that. Again, this was a 12-year-old. So it was talking about putting things into your body. Again, I have zero judgment on anybody. I think there are absolutely situations, everyone gets to make their own choice, no judgment. But it just, again, for me and what I knew and felt intuitively, it was just not the right time. And yet those around me that I thought would say be open to all perspectives and understanding what we're going through really shunned me. And I was no longer invited to some things and have accepted. And yet there, these same parents' children came to me before they had gone to their parents for talking to me about what they were going through with their own self-discovery.
Was that surprising to you?
Very much so, especially because I live in a community that is known for being exceptionally open and accepting. And I've always felt that. Mm-hmm. It was really until it came to this point that I, from their parents' perspective, I wasn't listening to my child, is kind of what it felt like. And I was just like, okay, wow. It was hurtful, to be honest. I was like, I got a little mad and I was like, how dare you? Put that on me, because I have been doing this research. I've dedicated my life to try to understand this, to support my child. Again, not to have all the answers, to be more educated, to learn, to be curious. And so I can choose what I want to do just as you can. And I'm never going to tell you what you have done is incorrect or wrong. You have to do what's right for your family. And I was hoping to get the same.
I see. And it's, you live in Seattle.
Yeah.
Which is a known to be a dark blue dot. And so there's actually we have really robust local ordinances and laws to protect and support transgendered identified people, which I love about the city. There's actually a well-known sanctuary and resources here. You and I can both imagine if you live somewhere else, in other states or maybe some other communities, where you'd actually get the opposite, which is even being open to considering our hormones appropriate now, would you'd be judged very harshly as well. So I just want to set the table. There's a lot of judgment coming in, and yours is kind of coming in maybe from the left, but there's a lot from the right that has been also very harmful at times.
Yeah, I think that's like the biggest, you know, one of the most important messages is like, we're in this together. Let's support each other through these times. Let's be accepting of what other people's decisions are for their family. I wasn't ever saying, no, this isn't going to happen. I was saying at 12, this is just something that we are not comfortable making a decision for you. And so, yeah, you know, another kind of little situation I had that was unexpected were around pronouns. My daughter is 6 years younger than Storm and is a firecracker, says what she wants. Again, we love hard, we protect hard. And so when Storm was going through this, she was very young. And it was important to us that we included her in a lot of what was going on. And so there were instances where she would have a play date and she would go and she would, when she would introduce herself, she would get pronouns and ask theirs. Well, there were families who had never even discussed anything like this in their family.
Yeah, for sure. Uh-huh. And
so their parents are like, hey, your daughter has brought something into our home that we are not even really talking about. And they were upset. This happened to me 2 times. Mm. And I, you know, there was a part of me that felt bad. Like, I'm not trying to disrupt your family by any means. At the same time, this is my family. And I think I want you to understand, I'll accept your family and I would hope that you can accept mine.
So they didn't want Jaxie to actually ask what pronouns for their kid, the playdate kid, because that was new and maybe upsetting to the parents. So you got that. And then on the other hand, you got some judgment from folks saying you need to just give the kid whatever, you know, whatever exactly. Storm wanted. What were some of the things that you did to ground, and I would guess reground, during a time of just so much incoming, and then you're trying to raise your family?
Yeah, I'm a pretty tangible person. So for things like that, I literally will come up with a task to do to help me. So, and I had this a lot where I had to get grounded. And I'll tell you, there were times I even went into the woods by myself for a couple of weeks and just regrounded. What I did, though, that helped me tremendously was I had literally written up an inventory kind of thing about everything I was proud of with my kids.
Mm.
It just was this way that I could, in this time of challenge, really shift my mind and focus on all the positives. And any time along the way, if I started to really get down or struggle or feel just beaten up, I could go back to my list and be like, this is what matters. This is what you're proud of. This is how your kid reacts. This is how they respond. You are doing what's right for them and they're showing you it's working because look at what they've done. So it was a lot of kind of mind play. It was a lot of positive self-talk, but everything was rooted in the same place. They know I love them.
Mm.
They know I love them. So I felt that I can make mistakes and just simply have that conversation because they know I love them. They know I'm on it with them.
I'm struck by the words you use, which is a mind tracker, this thing that was an intent. You kept basically a form of a gratitude journal, right? Which
was
the pride that you felt. And that was a thing you did in your mind. And then you practice that by writing it down. And then you talked about love, which is about the heart.
Yes.
And so for you, it seemed like you really were working at multiple levels, which is someone who I know you're very analytical and in your works that seemed to work well for you.
Yeah. You know, I was able, and I've been really fortunate in this through my life. I think it comes with experience and that I have been able to do a lot with people and process. I have this kind of empathy and analytics. I'm outgoing, sometimes an introvert. You know, I've got kind of these both sides, and it has allowed me, I think, to be open to perspectives, but I have to keep myself on track. It's easy to go down a negative path. It's easy for me to tell myself I failed, that, you know, I didn't do this and I didn't do this and I said this when I shouldn't have. That's all really easy to do, but it doesn't help. And I learned that early on. I have to model what I'm expecting my kids to do. It's the same reason I got off social media. I'm like, I can't sit here and tell my kids how toxic it is and then I go on it. And so it was, you know, as long as everything came from and they knew the place was coming from me supporting and loving them, I felt like I could get through anything, but it took me time to get there. But once we felt that, I felt like anything, I could do anything. Even if it was a mistake, I could come back and say, hey, guess what? I messed up, but that's part of this. I got through it and I learned and look where we are.
What a strong tether you're describing, right? To yourself, really. Yeah. And also something larger, which was kind of the love that you aspire to. And tell us about the mistakes you made, if you could. Mm-hmm. I mean, because those are the moments that test that tether, right? That groundedness that you describe, the practice, right? Because the word practice is intentional. What were some of those mistakes you made, or maybe low times as a parent? Can you describe one or two?
Yeah. The language was the hardest. These were terms that we hadn't used. We hadn't had in our English vocabulary in this same context. And yet it was such a powerful part of the identity. And this kind of journey was how they want to be identified and recognized. And so again, I called Storm my boy for like the first 10 years of their life. And so I had to switch in my mind from this world and this vision I had of my child as one person, which then was a little boy named Jagger, and realize this is a human being. It's not that black and white. There's more to it. It took me a long time. I was calling Storm the wrong pronouns. I was referring to their friends. And now I'll say, I'm used to it. I call everybody they, and they are like, that's not what I want to be called. I want to be a he or a she. And I'm like, I'm sorry. So anyway, the language was a huge part of it. The other thing I would say is fighting for Storm. There were times where, again, you don't want to see your kids suffer, but there is times and instances where it's important in their life. So at the beginning of this, anytime Storm would struggle, there'd be something that upset them, whether it was at school or whatever it might be. I was like, I got it. I'm going to go talk to this parent and talk to this kid and this principal and advocate. And I realized, again, that isn't always what Storm was looking for. They wanted to just be able to talk to me about it, but they didn't need me to jump in. And so going through a lot of that was where I was really like, this isn't about a problem. This is really about, you know, the development of your child.
Wow. Just hearing you tell that story of bearing witness to your child's suffering, and I'm sure hopefully they had a supportive school environment, and I'm sure they got bullied at certain times.
Yeah, it was tough. You know, when COVID hit, my kids were starting kindergarten in sixth grade. So middle school and kindergarten. And it was a kindergartner. Yeah, no way. I found an outdoor school for her. For Storm, they are also very much a rule follower. They're exceptionally do well at school. And so they were trying to navigate COVID online. And then when they go back into the school, everybody is coming back with like PTSD, and Storm and my whole family have these extreme empathy tendencies. And it was like overwhelming for them. So the school situation, all of it, every step of the way we had to navigate. The best thing we did was find what was right for our kid, which I will say in the end resulted in I ended up having Storm take a GED at 16, and they passed it and started college at a very young age. It's about finding what works for your child. So if the traditional school isn't working, I went and found what else is out there. An incredible school, Nova, called Nova Project, that really stepped up for our family. You know, you just have to go out there and see what resources are out there and find what works best for your kid.
And what advice do you have for parents who might not have the sort of choice around schools that you and your partner had. Not everyone can have that choice to yeah. move schools. And yet you're describing yourself as being very high agency, mm-hmm. sometimes too high of like wanting to problem solve, you know, and like, okay, because I don't want my kid to suffer, I'm going to call the school instead yeah. of letting them kind of navigate through something. And that's just a hard call to make. But what advice would you give for folks who also feel a sense of agency, but might not have the choices?
Yeah. I think the most important thing is all coming down to communication. If your child is experiencing something, take the time to fully understand what it is that they are lacking or what they need, and then look for your resources. The most important thing is to get a clear understanding of what it is that they are struggling with. So it is something, I mean, this can sound crazy, but it was the professional thing I did that always helped me, the whole start, stop, and continue. What do I want to start doing, stop doing, and continue doing? Again, I bring both of these sides of my brain.
Love it.
You know, it helped me. And so I sat with Storm. I was like, okay, when you think about your day, when you're in school, what do you wish you could stop doing? What do you wish you could start doing? And what do you want to continue doing? And that gave me a framework for what they needed. And then I could say, now I got it. Let me go see what options are out there. I might not find anything, but I'm going to look.
The stop, start, continue, literally, as in my leadership roles, maybe you know this, I use that very simple framework all of the time.
And me too.
As a leader with my teams, and then now when I'm working with executives and boards, I mean, it's such a powerful tool, because at the end of the day, it leads to choice about what to stop, start, or continue. And it gives you a palette of what you can do. And I think this is a very simple practice that can help us curate our own sense of agency. And you use it, but then you use it with Storm. And it was helpful for them, it sounds like.
Oh, we use it for everything now as well. Like it is, and I didn't know that about you, although I'm not surprised that we both use these simple yet very effective tactics, because we both like to work very smart and not hard. It is magic. I don't know what it is. Well, I do. You know what I think it is? It brings you back down to simplicity. When I'm thinking about things, I'm like, okay, put it this in an eighth grade language, you know, type of a thing. It's very simple. Every single person understands it. What do I want to stop doing, start doing, continue doing? And it builds mm-hmm. there. And that is the framework for almost everything I do in life, is how I approach it. And that's exactly what we did. And so then it was, and we didn't have all these resources at our fingertips necessarily, but we had enough. And more importantly, I had determination and conviction to make sure I did whatever I needed to for my kid to thrive. But understanding what they need, again, taking the time to listen, to build that relationship, to maybe step back, not as so much of the parent, but just say, in your dream world, what would you do if you could start, stop, and continue?
Well, let's ladder up a little bit to this day and time, right? Because you've shared these powerful stories about your family and experiences that you've had. And we're living in very polarized times. And sadly, and I think tragically, there is rampant gaslighting and scapegoating of transgendered identified people more than ever in the United States. And it's become a political issue. And we've seen in recent years just massive retrenchment in terms of access to healthcare. You know, there's this scapegoating of if you support people and their gender identity or use of pronoun names, or even cuts to access, right, for gender affirming care. I mean, these are the lives of real people, right? And what do you make of these times and what's going on in the meta world where, again, there's a politicization, violence against transgendered identified people, states making laws. I think obviously the Supreme Court has come down in some ways. What do you make of that?
Whew, it's a lot. It's a lot. It breaks my heart. I will one day feel like we're starting to move forward, and then the next day I'll feel like we're 10 steps back. I think the message that we're trying to get out here, which is be curious and come from a place of love, if we could try to get more people to come at things like that instead of with judgment or trying to prove something or know better or whatever it might be, but understanding that everybody is a person. We might look different, we might feel different, but we all need to be loved, you know? And I think being able to step back and look at it as this is a human, this is not, you know, someone trying to make headlines. And unfortunately, that is exactly what has happened, is headlines have become so polarized that that's all we're hearing about. I hope and would like to think more people are going through what I am, and they're being a lot more open and coming from this place of curiosity. But to me, that is our biggest problem. We tend to react with a closed mind. And I would love to see more people being proactive and learning versus coming in judging and with preconceived notions. Let's take the time to re-understand.
And that re-understanding, I love that term, by the way, is very much what I think being in the space in between is about, right? Which is, it's not giving up convictions or opinions or values that you hold dear, but it's also being able to do that and not hold so tightly that you can't welcome others to bring their full selves. And there might be some views that disagree. Mm-hmm. And so if that's the space in between, how do you square the circle when there's also laws being passed, right? And constriction of access to basic healthcare and support systems? Like, where are the red lines here? Mm.
I have found myself getting a little more disengaged, to be honest. When this first came out, I was gung-ho. I'm going to get out here. I'm going to talk to all these leaders. I'm going to make a name, da-da-da-da. As I went through that journey, for me and the type of person I am, I found myself too focused on that. And I had to take a step back and realize that, again, what I need to focus on is my family and what we are experiencing and what those around us are, not what we're hearing is happening or tragedies and misjudgments and whatever in the world is, and really try to just put some of the noise aside, which is hard for me to do, but for my own protection and mental health through this journey, yeah. I have had to find myself more stepping back and just focusing purely on my family.
I relate to that. And I had a podcast that's been out for a while now called Cultivating Inner Spaciousness. Mm-hmm. And in that, I reflected on a time in February 2025, when, you know, there's just so much changing with the new mm-hmm. administration, right? And having traveled a lot, I've been to places a lot of Western tourists don't go, in Sub-Saharan Africa and mm-hmm. Central and South America, you know, many, many places, seeing the value and impact of USAID, which was cut by 90%. Mm-hmm. And most grants were stopped immediately. So that's literally food that was waiting to get in the mouths of hungry people, right? And mm-hmm. I felt consumed in some ways by yeah. being upset, because these weren't just random policy decisions. I actually knew people who benefited, right? From the aid, and USAID did yeah. not perfect. Okay. It needed to get better, but not stopped, in my view. So I really felt a lot of constriction and finally kind of made it through. And I shared in the solo, some of the things that I did to be able to bear witness, step in as an advocate in some places, not look away, but also reground in some of the things that helped me not get consumed by it. And it sounds like that's similar to the story you're sharing about mm-hmm. regrounding and focusing just on your family.
Yeah, it was. And it was, again, about what I could do. You know, mm-hmm. I only have so much, you know, in that I can influence and those kind of things. So where could I make a change? And I knew it was going to be a little bit smaller, but it was still a change. So I was able to work with a school that's focused on supporting youth, LGBTQ plus, et cetera. And so it was just finding ways that I could still be helping, but not getting consumed by something that felt really impossible to make a mark, you know? And it started to kind of weigh me down. And these are the things that you have to really go through and pick those battles. And I knew at the time, this was where I belonged, was local efforts a lot more than trying to do something massively. Although I would still love to be part of it, and I will.
Well, I'll be ready to work on your campaign. You just, just let me know, Bree. I'm signing up for that. And I don't ask guests this question much, but I will, because I know you're very thoughtful with your family about coming on here. But how was this for your husband? What would you want to share about his journey? You know, he's in this.
Gosh, we could have a whole nother episode, because that was probably the most surprising part of this entire journey. As I mentioned, my husband is an electrician by trade. I hate to put these stereotypes, but, you know, a guy's guy, very much a laborer and a builder and, you know, a bike rider, and it rides motorcycles and dirt bikes and skateboards and da-da-da-da. And we had Storm, Jagger, at the time. And immediately we knew Jagger was Storm, again, when they were born, was this sensitive, kind, special soul. We knew it, and they have always been, but was, you know, a little slightly different than what the typical boy would be. And when this conversation came up, it did not even faze my husband for a second, not even a second. And I was like, what? I'm freaking out. What do you mean? Like, what is happening here? You know? And this, you know, strong hetero man was just like, it's just part of life. You know what?
Wow.
And I was like, what do you mean? No, we got to do this and this and this. And he was like, it is what it is. We're here to love him and support him. And again, this is where I knew I picked the right partner. This is exactly why you are the father of my children. But until you're experiencing it in it, you just don't know. And for him to have that perspective, being how he came across, was everything we needed. And I needed to know that, again, we're in this together, regardless of how either of us are feeling, or, you know, if I'm amped up and he's not, or, you know, and he gets amped up, the most protective, but he's letting Storm live their life, maybe along the way, but Storm knows that he can come to his mom and dad at any point in time, that they can. Yeah, still messed up language.
Language is tricky.
It is.
It's just a tricky one. And I'm just going to say a word that is so important. Grace. Yes. In all directions, in the sense of, for people who really, really care about the pronouns you use.
Yeah.
The grace is to say, maybe I don't quite understand it myself, but I'm giving you grace. And I'm hearing that your pronoun is really important and you want me to know. So the grace I'm going to give you, even though I may not understand it, or give myself grace when I screw up, which I have in the past. Yeah. And I have, you know, transgendered identified people in my life that I love and are close to me. And still I'll put my foot in the doo-doo pile and then. And so there's kind of self-grace, grace to others. I will say, though, I have a harder time offering grace when I hear people who are gaslighting, who are, you know, really putting people down based on their chosen gender identity. That's a bit of a red line for me. I mean, that's the deeper spiritual work for me, right? To be able to just, like, say, oh, hell no.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not on my watch. And also not get, you know, kind of consumed, or not give that kind of mean-spirited, or maybe sometimes just ignorant attitude back. I mean, that's just deep work, right? To be able to hold the line and not perpetuate the kind of anger or self-righteousness that comes. So that's a different level of healing. We've talked a lot about that on the podcast, right? It's also in game. Like, if we can cultivate that, that's a real big one.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting too. I have an uncle who's really involved in our life, who's 90. And it was pretty amazing, because Storm, again, has always been just this exceptional kid, kind-spirited and just so empathetic and stuff. And so my extended family thinks, as Storm kind of does, walks on water. And yet when this happened, my uncle, who's 90, was like, what are you talking about? Like, this is nonsense. But they knew Storm and how much they loved Storm and thought Storm was so exceptional. And so it made them open up a little bit more. But what was amazing is that when we would go and see my uncle, I would say, Storm, I'm sorry if this is going to make you uncomfortable. We know uncle struggles. And Storm never fazed him. He was like, Mom, I understand. he's 90. It's, you know, he doesn't know these words. It's fine. And I was just like, wow, wow. It is all about grace.
Mm.
It is all about grace. In the end, it's what brings us together and knows that, you know, we're all here to make sure that we feel love and support. And that's the end of it.
I'm so grateful for you sharing your story today, Brian. I want to end with one question for you that I ask everyone. And it's, if you had a magic wand, it's Bree's magic wand, right? And
yep. If
you had one wish for me, for anyone listening right now, what would that one wish be?
You know, it would really be to not always look at challenges and concerns as a problem to solve. We've talked a lot about this. And to me, that is the most important thing. If you are, if your family is going through anything that is challenging your philosophies or whatever it might be curious, learn about it, get to know about it. I didn't know anything about anything to do with transgender, with gender discovery, none of it. And I've learned a whole new world. My life is so much more rich from what I have gained from this by just simply being curious. So that is really my biggest wish, is that everybody in the world has an opportunity to approach challenges, conversations, whatever it might be, from a place of an open mind and being curious.
That's a very powerful testament and a beautiful wish to end our conversation with. And I also just want to recognize you and thank you for sharing some practices that are very personal to you, but I think are relevant for all of us as well, which is this gratitude practice, right? Of when you maybe felt a little wobbly or this journey wasn't so linear or sometimes hard, you'd actually make a list of what you were very proud of by your children. And it reminded you what was important. That's what I took. And
yes.
Then just asking this question, what do we stop, start, and continue? As a very
yes.
simple thing that created a sense of agency for you and your family. And
yes.
Then your way of dealing with so much of the negative incoming messages and policy decisions that have come down to constrict rights for transgendered people and their families, what you did was you focused locally.
Yeah.
Because that also felt like a place where you could have the most change. And that was right for you. Someone might pick up a sign and organize a national march or go having, that's their path. But just finding what's right for each and every one of us can be a very empowering stance to take. And I've heard you describe many ways to do that. So I'm very inspired by that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I definitely am someone that doesn't give up easy. And so when I have a challenge or anything that I'm facing, I want to learn as much as I can and spread as much awareness as possible so that, you know, we all help each other get through whatever we need to get through. The life is not easy. This is not an easy world we're living in right now. And so I think anything that we can do to try to bring our families together and feel this love is really the most important thing that we can do right now.
Such a powerful way to end our conversation today. Bree, thank you for being on the Space in Between. It's been such a pleasure and an honor.
Thank you. I am honored to share the story. I feel like I've been very blessed with the people that have come into my life. The universe is looking out for me like no other. And we were destined to meet. And this was just one of the reasons. And I am very, very grateful that you are using your platform to share such important messages. So thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Space in Between podcast. If you did, please hit the like button and leave a review wherever you listen to the show. And check out the spaceinbetween.com website, where you can also leave me a message. Take good care.